B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. We've got two open lines, 610-632-0975. Again, best caller today will win a pair of tickets to see Guns N' Roses on July 8th at Citizens Bank Park. That's awesome. So if you call in, talk some about this new NFL format, the new ideas that they're going to be, it looks like they're going to be going on with, and then also Sixers, whether or not you think that they are going to give you enough confidence through these next 27 games to make you think that they're actually going to make a push, a run, a deep run in the playoffs this year. Let's go to Gloria in New Jersey. Gloria, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, guys, thanks for taking my call. I think this is a
pretty
interesting topic about the schedule. So my idea is, I think it's been shared a little bit before, but a combination of a neutral site and a rivalry game. So you get some of your games in London. You can get some of your games in Mexico, wherever you want to go. I'm a Steelers fan. I would love to see Steelers-Eagles at Beaver Stadium on like a Penn State bye weekend.
Somebody just tweeted that in too. Let's see. I got to find that tweet. But somebody actually just said that, which is awesome. Mikey Mack tweets in Steelers-Eagles every year at Penn State.
Yep, exactly. And then on the rotational years where they, you know, the NFC East and AFC North play each other, just have some sort of like fan engagement poll. Like, okay, you can't play the Steelers this year. Who do you want to take on instead? And I mean, obviously do that, you know, in advance to build the schedules, but give the fans some say in who they want to see outside of their normal schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but then it goes a little more advanced with that just because of, as Tyler was talking about earlier, like if you were one of the best teams in the NFL last year, you're going to have to face you're going to have a tougher schedule. And if the fans are, like, the fans could skew the vote, right? Like, you could say, oh, I want to see the Dolphins. I always want to see the Dolphins every single year. They're so entertaining to watch, even though the Dolphins beat the Eagles this year. But that's, like, fans could skew the vote to try to face the worst teams.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I just got to say one more thing. I wouldn't turn it down, but there is no way my Steelers should have been in the playoffs this year. No way. So,
oh, come on. You're a Steelers fan. You should say yes every year. Gloria, I appreciate the call. Put you on hold. You'll be in the running for the Guns N' Roses tickets that we're giving away. They were a fun little team to watch once Minka Fitzpatrick got there.
Duck Hodges.
Dude, come on. Give me an extra.
He stinks.
Come on. Why are you upset about this? You're right. You're the get-off-my-lawn guy
today. It's watering down the playoff standing. You got 44% of the league going to the playoffs.
Good.
Why?
Because here's the thing. Playoffs are the best part about every sport, right? It's already the best part about every sport. Why not want more? That's what we're doing with baseball. Baseball is probably going to expand their playoff format.
Shouldn't do that either.
The only league that you really shouldn't change is the NBA, in my opinion, because you already have 8-8. And I don't like, remember that a couple years ago they were talking about the 16 top teams making it and then reseeding it that way or whatever? And you could have 4 teams out of the Eastern Conference make it and then 12 teams out of the Western Conference. Like that, I didn't like that. Like, I actually like the way the NBA format is right now. And I know there's also conversation before this season started. I remember, I think Woj put out a story about it, that they may end up doing reseeding in the NBA, which I think I'm kind of okay with because it kind of stinks that right now it's perfect that no matter what, if the 1 and 2 seed are facing each other, it's going to be the Eastern Conference Finals, the Western Conference Finals. There's no other way of them seeing each other earlier. But like, if you're the 4 seed and let's say the 7 seed beats the 2 seed, the 4 seed's playing the 1 seed in round 2, right, as of right now. I don't really like that. That's probably the only change I would make to the NBA playoff format is the reseeding. But the NFL, you want to add more? Sure. I don't want to add more NBA teams. Because the 8th seeds in both conference are normally right around or below 500. So I don't need more dog bleep teams in the playoffs in the NBA. But I don't see 7 and 9 teams getting in for the NFL. I don't see 6 and 10 teams getting in for the NFL. It's 500 teams. And as Corey, who I accidentally hung up on earlier, Corey brought up, like, okay, the Rams were 9-7 last year, but they were in the Super Bowl the year before. Clearly, they are talented. Clearly, they're probably banged up from playing deep into the postseason the previous year. Maybe they get a nice little, they get a little extra bit of energy going to that playoff game.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
When you watch March Madness.
Yes.
Do you like 13 seeds winning games?
The first round, yeah.
But after that.
No.
Right. So
I want the best of the best.
Just to me, it's the same thing. The first round's exciting, it's entertaining. But after that, you want the best
you
of
want the
best.
Best of the best. Like, what was the USMBC
Florida
or whatever?
Gulf Coast.
No, but that was great. They beat Connecticut. And then what was the team that beat Arizona? as the 16 seed, US or UMBC?
No,
or,
UMBC beat Virginia.
Virginia, that's what it was. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Not Arizona. Like that,
Arizona lost to Buffalo, though. So.
I love that. I love that in the first and maybe even the second round. But you're right. Once you get down to the final four, you want the top two or at least top three seeds somewhere around there. But I don't know. It's because that's such a big. It's 68 teams now that get into the tournament. It's only going to be 14 teams that get into the playoffs. And if you get bounced by one of these 9-7 teams, I think that's actually kind of cool because it's so much quicker. It's not dragged on for two. Not the NCAA tournament is dragged on, but like it's only two or three more weeks to go after that. If you get what I'm saying. Like I kind of do like that.
Well, and I think for me, the teams that, I know this is not a 100% perfect comparison, but I think the teams for me that are most deserving to get into those tournaments are the mid-major conference winning teams. Those teams that are 12 seeds, the 13 seeds, that always kind of have a way to find a way to beat the 5 seed. The teams that don't deserve to get in, to me, are the 9, 10, and 11 seeds. Like, you get a 27-19 Syracuse team, and they find a way to be the 11-seed play-in game.
Right.
Like, that they don't belong in the tournament.
Yeah, you're right.
Just like the 8-8 Steelers don't belong in the NFL playoffs.
Oh, no, they belong. Let's go to Jeff in Harleysville. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, boys. Happy Thursday.
Hey, Jeff. Happy Thursday.
Good. I just have some ideas about the new format.
Okay.
Number one, I love the having only one person getting the bye.
Right. I think that's cool. Because it just adds to that intrigue, those last final weeks. It's always exciting the last final weeks, but now it's like, oh, well, we're going to at least get the 2 seed, so let's rest some of our play. No, now you're going for that 1 seed, and that's it.
Right, and the second, I always thought the second bye was a little cheesy, you know, the second team to get the bye. I just thought it was always, yeah, I just like the runner-up still gets rewarded. And, I think it's great to have the king be the king, and, you know.
Exactly.
And give it to one team. And another way that I think a 7th seed, it's weird to even say 7th seed, but
yeah.
For a 7th seed to be exciting is say there's a player like a Mahomes or Brady that's injured during the season and the team might squeak in as a 6th or 7th seed, but then they're going to get
that player comes
again.
Back, yeah.
Then you get that player come back, or even a TD suspension, something like that. You know, you might get, you know, a really big time player coming back, and so you could have a 7th seed that can kind of transform, you know, into a 1st or 2nd seed if they get healthy.
Yeah, and that happens all the time. I mean, let's go back to last year. Let's say you have that 7-team playoff format already, and let's say the Eagles squeak in as the 7th seed, and that's the week DeSean Jackson comes back.
Right.
Right, and now all of a sudden...
that as an example.
Now, yep. Now you're already talented enough to get to the playoffs, but now you're even more talented because you have that extra player coming back, and now you could shock the world being the 2 seed.
Right. I mean, it just gives a little more, you know, the more teams are in the hunt, I think, and in football, anyone can win. I don't think it's like basketball where the 8 seeds basically don't have a shot. I think, you know, with teams getting healthy, with, you know, maybe they come up with a different style of offense, or they get, you know, they find a running back in their practice squad that all of a sudden becomes a star. You know, things can happen, you know, pretty quick in the NFL, and that's why I love the sport so much.
Yeah, great point, Jeff. I'll put you on hold. You're in the running for the Guns N' Roses tickets. That's a great point. See, Tyler, listen to Jeff. If you don't want to listen to me, fine. Listen to Jeff. Now, one of the most exciting weekends in the last couple of years, at least for us as Eagles fans, was when the Eagles beat the Redskins in 2018, and then we have to watch the Bears-Vikings game. Because if the Bears win that game, right, if the Bears beat the Vikings, the Eagles will not have made the playoffs. But because the Vikings beat the Bears, and then the Eagles got the Bears in the first round, and then the double doink happens, and then they move. I think I got that correct. I may be having it backwards. But now think of like 4 or 5 different teams that need things to go well for them. Now all of a sudden, week 17, or it'll probably be week 18, because I'm sure they'll have a second bye. Or, well, even if it's only one game, it's week 18 anyway, because you have the bye. Week 18 is going to be exciting for multiple teams, not just for your own as the Eagles. I like it. I like it. I'm disappointing you today, Tyler. Disappointing, man. You got to open your mind.
I'll play the old man role today.
Yeah, you got to open your mind, man. But Kevin Todd does tweet in something that we can talk about. He goes, my problem with you wanting more playoffs and expanding the teams, why do we even have a regular season then? Just make it a big double or triple elimination tournament from early September to determine the Super Bowl champion. All right. I like that point.
Participation trophies for everybody.
Exactly. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Fanatic Sports Update.
Adding a playoff team, this Fanatic Sports Update is brought...
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic. 11:20, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Cuz. Anthony out sick today. He should be back tomorrow. 11 a.m. hour brought to you by Gold Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. We currently have two open phone lines. The number to get in is 610-632-0975. And we're going to continue talking Sixers. We're going to continue talking about the new NFL format, the new schedule, an extra game, an extra team in the playoff, one less team with a bye, which I love. And, of course, the best caller today will win a pair of Guns N' Roses tickets. They will be playing on July 8th at Citizens Bank Park with the special guest Smashing Pumpkins for their North American tour. So we'll be giving away those tickets today as well. But sit tight. First, we're going to head to the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. And we're going to speak to... a man who does a great job covering the Sixers, Keith Pompey, at Pompey on Sixers, of course, for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Keith, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's up, man?
I'm doing great, man. Now, before we get into the Sixers talk, I got to ask, how was the All-Star game? How was Chicago? I was looking at your Twitter feed. The pictures were awesome. The videos were great. Did you enjoy yourself?
It was cold, bruh.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah, it was freezing. But, I mean, it was cool. I'm talking about it was cold. But, you know what I mean? The thing is, the All-Star game was by far the best one that I've been to in 7 years. And it was just a great atmosphere, but it was freezing outside.
Well, that's why you stayed inside the arena, right? You tried staying inside as much as you could. So I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. Now we got to get down to business, and we have 27 regular season games left with the Sixers, 27 games for Brett Brown to figure out a rotation come playoff time with his new pieces and Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III. But the first thing I want to touch base on is yesterday Al Horford told you and a bunch of other reporters that he's going to be coming off the bench for the remainder of the season, it looks like. When Al Horford was speaking, does he seem okay with it? Is he on the same page with the coaching staff that he's now going to be coming off the bench instead of being a starter?
You know, I think, in a way. I mean, no one wants to be a bench player.
Right.
But I think with Al Horford, it comes to a point where, you know, Al Horford is a guy who he doesn't want to disrupt the team, and he doesn't want to make it about himself. But, you know, if you're talking to Al, you know, with his family and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure he's a little disappointed. But at the same time, you know, he's going to take the high road. He's going to say all the great things, because at the end of the day, he wants this team to win too. So, you know, yeah, he wasn't like a guy who came out and said, hey, this is crazy. Coach doesn't know what he's doing. He's
right.
Saying, hey, I want to help this team win. So you have to commend them for that.
So the Sixers are getting back in action tonight facing the Nets. And their first game with this new rotation, with Al Horford coming off the bench, was, of course, the Clippers game, where the Sixers looked like a whole different team than during that four-game losing streak. But the new starter was Furkan Korkmaz, and he gave you 0 points. So my question for you, Keith, do we see that Furkan Korkmaz stays in the starting lineup moving forward, or can we see somebody else like Glenn Robinson III sliding in if Korkmaz continues to struggle?
I think if Korkmaz continues to struggle, you can see like Glenn Robinson III playing there. But also, you know, here's the one thing. Like, Korkmaz is a guy who's like an open, you know, you leave him open, he'll stick a couple threes. Now, he didn't make them in that game, but that's his role. And that second unit, you know, based off of what Brett Brown was saying yesterday, you know, a guy like Alec Burks, you know, he wants him to be the alpha dog. He wants him to be the scorer of that second group. So my thing is, will he and Furkan mix? You know what I mean? Because when Furkan gets the balls, he's going to shoot it. And that's what Alec, you want Alex to do. So I can see where he's going to throw Furkan out there, you know, or try to do it a little bit more just to see what he can get with him, you know, just because you want Alex to be like the scorer of that second unit. But, you know, again, a lot has to depend on his defense as well. But Glenn Robinson III is a great option. But, you know, I just don't want, if I'm Brett Brown, I don't want anything standing in the way of Alex, you know, having phenomenal games coming off the bench.
So could Korkmaz almost lose out on minutes in the next couple of weeks now? I mean, he was great. We know he scored the 30 point games in back-to-back games, and he was on fire, and everybody was fired up. But we also knew that was eventually, he was going to eventually come back down to earth. But if he doesn't fit well with Burks, and if he's not hitting the open three when he's on with the starting rotation in the beginning of the game, could he end up losing minutes? Because obviously he's a bit of a defensive liability. I know Brett's happy with his improvement on the defensive end of things, but you already have a pretty deep rotation. You're going to have Burks coming off the bench. You're going to have Glenn Robinson III coming off the bench or starting. You have Al Horford coming off the bench. And I'm sure Matisse Thybulle is still going to get some run. And because he's a better defender than Korkmaz, could Korkmaz end up losing his minutes?
I mean, you're going to lose minutes anyway. I think all of them are with the addition of Robinson and Burks. But the one thing about Korkmaz, you have to, I mean, they're all going to lose them. But the one thing about Korkmaz is, he adds something that a lot of players don't have. I mean, his ability, his shooting. Now, you know, Burkskin is a scorer.
Right.
But there's no one else on a team that you can say that can hit him up, hit threes like Furkan. So with that, I mean, he's going to lose some minutes, but I can't see him going from, you know, scoring 30 points in back-to-back games to suddenly getting DMPs or getting like 5 minutes. I think the Sixers need him. And it's just a way of just meshing them in with the right people. Because, you know, when he's playing with Tobias and he's playing with Joel and he's playing with all these other guys, people aren't saying, I got to stop Furkan Korkmaz.
Right.
You know, they're going to stop those other guys. So he's going to benefit from that. Is when guys devise a game plan and they're saying, we got to stop Furkan because he's the best shooter on the floor or the best option, scoring option. That's when you may run into a problem. So I don't think that, per se, now again, it's 27 games. Like Brett Brown said, a lot can happen. But right now, looking at it, I don't see him. I see him losing minutes because the other two are coming.
Right.
I don't see him going to being, you know, like how Neto is or how Trey Burke was before he was eventually waived.
Speaking of Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Now, there's 27 games left, which it seems like a pretty big number, but we know it's not that much, right? 27 games, that's going to fly by before we know it. So these last 27 games, Brett Brown really needs to figure out his playoff rotation. So we already know Al Horford coming off the bench. Right now, it looks like Furkan Korkmaz is going to be in the starting lineup. Do you see almost like a playoff-like feel every single game coming down this stretch where guys are going to be playing a little extra minutes, and guys are going to be playing less minutes, as we talked about, and certain guys are going to be DNP'd, as you just said, because the Sixers are still the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. And I remember Elton Brand said during his press conference following the deadline that it's pretty much a playoff game from here on out. Do you expect a rotation like that where Simmons is playing 40 minutes and Embiid's playing close to 40 minutes on a given night down the stretch?
Not quite yet. It's still early. And also, you know, when you look at the schedule, I mean, we're talking about, you know, yes, they have Brooklyn tonight. They have Milwaukee. Then after that, they got Atlanta, Cleveland, and the Knicks. I mean, they should win all three. Then they go to LA, and they have Sacramento, Golden State. They should win the last two, followed by Detroit. So what's going to happen is, I mean, the Sixers, you know, you want to keep people healthy and everything for the playoffs. And also, you know, I think Brett Brown has to find out what his rotation is because, you know, you named guys and ideally a team would like to have an 8 or 9 man rotation, preferably an 8. So I think that although he's not coming out and saying it, he's trying to use it this last 2 months to have these players and let them tell him, hey, I deserve to get minutes off the bench. You know, I think that right now you got guys like, you know, Glenn Robinson. You have Alec Burks who deserve it. You also said Al Horford. That's three guys right there. So you know, you typically only want to go if you want to go nine deep. Then who else is going to get in the rotation? So, you know, I think that they're going to figure that out within this this last 2 months. So it's kind of a little bit early, especially with the level of opponents they're going to be playing, for them to just go away, you know, and just say, okay, Ben, I want you, you know, going 40 minutes. So, well, you got to do 40, this and that. They want to keep them fresh for the playoffs.
Right, yeah, and here's the thing, Keith, I get it. Like, you don't want to burn them out come playoff time. And you talked about the schedule, and I see a stretch of games following those two L.A. games, the Clippers and the Lakers. There's 11 games where I say you should go no worse than 9-2 during that stretch. But the problem is, because it's some of the games the Sixers are on the road, and we know their road struggles this year, and because we've seen them struggle against teams that they should beat. I mean, we've seen them lose to teams like the Hawks. I know Trae Young went off that night, but we see them lose to teams where you go, wow, this should be a win. That's why I almost go, all right, you have 27 games left. That sounds like a lot, but to me, it's really not that much. And if you want to really gain ground in the Eastern Conference, because you're only a game and a half back of the Heat, it's still a possibility. You still have a chance of catching the Celtics as a three seed. And I don't want to just say, you know what, let's just get to the playoffs healthy. I know that's the biggest thing, but you only have 27 games left to gain some ground. And we know how important home court advantage is for the Sixers.
Exactly. You're right. You have a great point. But then you also think back to the past two playoff series. You know, there was a point, you know, late in around this time, the last two times, 1 year, Embiid messed up his, you know, orbital bone.
Yeah.
The second time, you know, Embiid, you know, he goes to the All-Star break, and then he comes back and he's suffering from tendonitis. So, you know, my thing is, you know, if you're Brett Brown, you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, if I would have had a healthy Embiid for those last two playoff series, maybe we probably would have gotten out of the second round. You know, so it's one of those things where you just have to be careful. And let's face it, you have, and we're talking about the bench, you have the two new guys and Burks and Glenn Robinson III. You have Al Horford. You have Matisse Thybulle. You know what I mean? You have Mike Scott. These are all five guys who kind of sort of deserve to get some playing time. I know Mike Scott is struggling a little bit, but he brings a different type of thing, too, when he's hot. So, if you're Brett Brown, you got to try to get these guys some minutes. Now, again, all of them aren't going to play like 20 minutes or anything like that.
Right.
But you have to get them minutes. You have to get them, you know, you have to figure out what you have. Now, again, when it comes down to like the last couple weeks, yeah. But then you also know, don't be surprised once they figure out, let's just say if they get locked into the fourth seed or the third seed, don't be surprised if they just shut it down, like the last game, you know, with certain starters. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. But right now, I think it's a matter of trying to get the – first of all, you got to try to get the two new guys in rhythm with their other teammates. And then you have to try to figure out who's going to be on that postseason rotation.
Speaking of the two new guys, well, one of them, Alec Burks – remember, there was that report that came out when he was first traded that he wasn't really thrilled with the idea because he enjoyed the culture playing for the Golden State Warriors and he didn't really want to get up and move. I mean, that was a report that was coming out west. I don't know exactly how true it was. And even his press conference when he came for that first game but he wasn't ready to play, he seemed like, yeah, all right, I'm with the Sixers. He's only played one game. Then it was quickly the All-Star break. Is Alec Burks adjusting to being with the Sixers? Is he starting to be a little bit happier that he's on a playoff contender?
I mean, we'll find out. I mean, and you'll figure out. Like, that's something that, you know, like, again, you said one game, they went on the All-Star break. They came back yesterday. You know, it's going to be one of those things. You got to figure out how it all works out for you.
Right.
And if you're a guy like Alex Burks, you know, you're looking at it like, man, I'm having a career year over here, and I'm in a contract season because his contract runs over at the end of this year. So, you know, he has a family. You know, he's just looking at it as if, like, hey, I'm trying to, you know, ball out so I can get paid. And you look at the 76ers right now, you know, they have an overabundance of wing players.
Right.
So, you know, typically, you know, I don't fault a guy who, when they get traded to a situation, you know, they're wondering, like, wow, how are they going to use me? Because just because you got traded there doesn't necessarily mean that if the coach doesn't like your game, that he's just going to throw you out there. you know. So, you know, so I can understand, you know, where he was coming from.
Yeah, but he's going to be the first guy off the bench with Al Horford, and he's going to have the ball in his hand a lot. If I'm Alec Burks, I'm thrilled because now I'm on a playoff contender. And you talk about getting paid. If you can ball out for in his role, especially come playoff time, I'd be happy about that.
Yeah, but do you know that going in? I mean, let's be real. When you get traded, do you actually know what's going on?
No.
I mean, we're thinking about it. You got traded a night after Furkan Korkmaz drops 34
right.
coming off the bench. Then your first game you're there, you see Furkan Korkmaz drop 31 points. You see what Matisse Thybulle does. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's not being he wasn't being a good teammate. It's just you want to figure out what your role is. I mean, and that's one of those things. Now, again, we can all say that, oh, he'll be the first man off the bench. He'll do this. He'll do that. But initially, you know, when Brett Brown was asked about him, he was like, we got to figure it out. Now, yesterday, Brett Brown was like, oh, yeah, we're going to give him the ball. He's going to be this and that. But initially, you know, the coach, everything happened so fast.
Right.
To whereas he had to figure out what this guy's strengths were. So, and you know, and like another thing, there's something that we don't really think about. You know, you're all we on the West Coast. You're loving it. You know, you have a wife and a daughter. You know, and now it's like, okay, is this going to be a full-time thing? I mean, something for me moving forward? Or am I just going to be a three-month rental and I'm going to be away from my family? You know, so, you know, it's just a lot of emotions. Like being traded in the middle of the season or towards the end of the season, you know, isn't ideal for most people, you know, because when you have family involved. So, you know, personally, I'd rather somebody saying, hey, I don't know how this is going to work, as opposed to someone saying, oh, this is going to be great. And then we find out that, you know, he was being, you know.
He was miserable the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. And again, it's one of those things that it always plays itself out.
Right. Our last one for you, Keith. Make sure you follow Keith on Twitter, at Pompey on Sixers. Of course, read his stuff on Philadelphia Inquirer, inquirer.com. So basically, one of the things that we're talking about during the show today is, what are the two or three things that you need to see the Sixers really accomplish in these next 27 games for you to have confidence going into the playoffs? Because let's face it, the Sixers have been such an incredibly inconsistent team all season long. They haven't had a longer winning streak than four games so far this season. They've been up and down, but we all know the talent that they have. So, Keith, for you to have confidence in this team to actually make a deep run in the playoffs, at least to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe even the NBA Finals, what are the two or three things you need to see during this 27-game stretch?
Well, start off with the next four road games. I need to see them go at least 3-1 in the next four road games. Because, I mean, if you look at it, you know, now one of them is Cleveland. You know, Cleveland is in huge disarray. I expect them to win that one, right? But then, you know, the Lakers, they kind of handed it to the Lakers when the Lakers came here. They did the same thing to the Clippers. And then, you know, Milwaukee, they dominated Milwaukee here and then got pounded there. I mean, I would like that for me to have confidence. I would like to see the Sixers go 3-1.
I'll take two and two.
I know you take 2-2, but to me, it's like I'm already giving them one win. I mean, against Cleveland.
Right.
So I would like to see that. I mean, now we're talking about going deep in the playoffs.
Yes.
Deep in the playoffs. That's what I'm talking about. But as in regards to, you know, being a quality playoff team, yeah, 2-2 is great. But I would like to see them go 3-1. That means you're playing three elite teams on this road trip. Not road trip, but, you know, these road games. You're playing three elite teams, and I would like to see if you can beat two of them. That's all I'm asking. I would like to see if you can beat two of them.
I would sign up for 2-2, but you're right. If we're talking about going deep into the playoffs, we're talking Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, then 3-1 should be not that difficult of a task for a team that should go that far. Keith, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for coming on today and give me some time. And we'll continue to read your stuff on Inquirer and Inquirer.com, all right?
All right, man. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Thanks, Keith. There he is, Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. A couple people dropped off during the interview, so make sure you climb right back in. We got two open lines, 610-632-0975. Guns N' Roses tickets up for grabs for the best caller of the day. Interesting stuff. I disagree with the Alec Burks stuff, to be honest. Maybe it's just because the competitor inside me. I get it, like, right? Like, I've never been traded. I've never been traded to another radio station. I've never been traded to another girlfriend, right? Like, I've never felt that kind of stuff. But I don't know, like, when you're going from a terrible Golden State Warriors team because of all the injuries, and now you're playing for a contender, I don't know. It's your contract. You get paid.
Yeah, there's a point, though. I think Keith has a good point there in saying that when you are playing and playing well and getting, you know, good run on a bad team, it's like you're almost on an AAU team. You're showcasing yourself for your college. He was doing the same thing. He was showcasing himself because he wasn't going to be a Golden State Warrior next year.
No, he was not.
So now he's going to be the, what, 7th, 8th, maybe 9th guy on the Sixers.
No, he's got to be.
He's not going to get the run.
He's got to be. To me, he's 6th, if anything, 7th. Because I know Horford's coming off the bench, and Horford's going to end up finishing up the games too. But I don't know. You have his scoring. He's your main scorer off the bench now. Your main scorer. Because if Korkmaz isn't hot like he is scoring 30 points, he's got to be your main guy. I don't know. I get the whole family aspect. I get all that kind of stuff. I've never dealt with it. But, man, you're going from... And this is another way, another chance of getting paid even more money. It's one way to ball out for a bad team. GMs know that. It's another thing for you to ball out for a bad team and then play a very significant role on a playoff team, a championship contender. I don't know. If I'm Alec Burks, I'm thrilled with that opportunity. But, hey, what do I know? I don't get traded. I have a no-trade clause. 610-632-0975. So we're going to continue talking to Sixers. Answer that question that I asked Keith at the end of the interview there. What is it that you need to see during this last 27-game stretch for you to say, wow, I'm confident in this team going into the playoffs? Keith said he's not even going that far. He's going the next 4 road games. He wants the Sixers to go 3-1. Now, you knock off 2 things here. You knock off the concern that the Sixers can't win on the road. But the bigger thing is, 3 of those 4 road games, Bucks, Lakers, Clippers, that's very difficult. If you can go 3-1 during that stretch, the other game being the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland, man, we should be talking about a title contender for sure. So what do you need to see in the last 27 games for you to say, I'm confident in this team that they could make a deep run in the playoffs? And of course, we are continuing to react to the news in the NFL that they are going to be adding a 17th regular season game, adding another playoff team in each conference. So there will now be 7 teams as opposed to 6. And because there are 7 teams, only one team will have a first round bye. That, of course, being the number 1 overall seed, which I love. I think that's fascinating. So let's talk about the NFL, the new NFL format, the idea of needing to play a 17th game on a neutral site because you can't have an extra home game or an extra road game. So do you like what the NFL is doing? And we're talking Sixers as well. 610-632-0975. Anthony out sick today. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony until 2 o'clock right here on The Fanatic. FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is America's number one sportsbook for a reason. They've got all the bets you could want, and they've got a great, easy-to-use app. I have it open right now. New promos every day, and once you win, they get your cash fast. I had a nice payout after that big game that we always talk about. I got it within, 2 days? It was awesome. If you've been holding out on trying FanDuel Sportsbook, then now's the time, because right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new users their first bet risk-free. That means you can place any bet within 7 days of signing up, and FanDuel Sportsbook will refund you up to $500 in site credit if you don't win. So now's the perfect time to sign up, right? You got the NBA returning to action tonight, not just the Sixers, but the entire NBA. So now is the perfect time to sign up. I'm loving Philadelphia tonight. 8.5-point favorites over Brooklyn. I'm going to lay that. I know it's a big number, but I love Philly coming out of the break. Everybody's rested. Joel Embiid had some comments, yesterday, saying the media is trying to tear us apart. So now he's angry at the media, and him and Ben are going to ball out together. So I like Philly tonight, and I'm going to go with Houston, 10-point favorites, facing Golden State in Golden State in San Francisco. So I like Houston in that game as well. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app from the iOS App Store or visit FanDuel.com/Android and be sure to use code FANATIC so that they know that we sent you. That's promo code FANATIC, FANATIC, to get your first bet risk-free. Must be 21 or older and present New Jersey or PA. Site credit is not withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms and restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11:52, 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Cuzzies out sick again today. Tyler Zuli sitting in my seat today. We got two open lines. Best caller win a pair of Guns N' Roses tickets. We also have the Flyers Wives Carnival tickets. We'll give those away at some point as well. Talking Sixers basketball, what you need to see in the next 27 games for you to feel confident that they could actually make a push coming into the playoffs. Keith Pompey, who just had on, said he wants to see them go 3-1 their next four road games. Of course, one of them is the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's a win, in my opinion. The other three are Bucks and the two games in L.A. against the Clippers and the Lakers. So that's a tough task. But we're not waiting long to see that, right? Like Keith said, the next four road games, that's all within the next 2 weeks. So let's see if the Sixers can do that. They're back tonight against the Nets. 8.5-point favorites. I love the Sixers tonight. Returning from the All-Star break. Everybody's healthy. Joel Embiid spoke yesterday, I believe it was, or 2 days ago, saying he's not going to be playing with the that same splint on his hand anymore. He's still going to have two fingers taped up, but it's not going to be like that gigantic splint that he had in recent games. So Joel Embiid, he should be playing with a little more energy. He should be able to do a little bit more because it was messing him up, that big splint on his hand. It really was, let's face it. But now that that's gone, maybe we see a little more from Joel Embiid. Everybody's a little more rested. And now Brett Brown has the opportunity to play with a little more because he's got Alec Burks and he has Glenn Robinson III, two reliable guys off the bench. And that was my biggest thing yesterday. I didn't want to come off like I was giving Brett Brown excuses, but I need to see him really figure out this rotation within the next five games. I'm going to give him a couple games. It can't just be tonight, even though he has had a week to figure it out and he had some tape to figure out from the Clippers game. I'm going to give him tonight the next couple of games. The Bucks game is going to be really important, but let's see if he can really figure out what will eventually be the playoff format. And I know Keith Pompey said that over 27 games, you don't want to burn out these guys. That Bucks game on Saturday, that needs to be a playoff game to me. That needs to be eight guys. Right, maybe nine guys. I don't need to see Mike Scott against the Bucks, especially if he plays tonight and has another offer from beyond the arc, because he's been doing that a lot this year. Howell Neto should not play again the rest of the season, unless it's a blowout. That game against the Bucks, it needs to be a playoff game for the Sixers. So let's see what the Sixers do. What do you need to see in the next 27 games for you to really feel confident going into the playoffs? And we're talking about the NFL format change, a new schedule, you name it as well. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Andrew?
What's up, Drew?
What's going on, Tyler? How you guys doing, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. So basically, I wanted to talk about the playoff format. And to be honest with you, out of the four major sports, I like the NFL playoff format the best out of all of them because I can find flaws in the other three real easy. I mean,
so
as it is,
you like the playoff format.
Yeah, because, I mean, in baseball, you got that whole wild card play-in, which I think is nonsense. I think in NBA, the fact that they don't reseed, you know, through the 1-8 is kind of
which they
stupid.
May soon, but I agree. It's kind of dumb that the 1-4 seed can face each other in round two, but the 7 seed could face, the 3 seed instead of, instead of facing the 1 seed.
It's kind of weird. And then hockey, don't even get me started with their whole playoff format.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, they should just go back to the whole 1-8 seeding like they used to do before. But nonetheless, football, yeah, I like the fact that only 6 teams make it. I think it gives, the regular season more credibility. I mean, you got to really work to be one of those top 6 teams. I know sometimes you get a team that slides in, that shouldn't. And that's even going to be more the case if you add another playoff team and even another game. I don't even like that concept. I think 16 games is perfect. And I mean, the whole reason why they're even doing this. I mean, it's all about the bling. So
yeah, it's all about money.
Right. So it's just I think that right now 2 bye teams works well. You fight your ass.
So you don't like any of this. You don't like any of the changes.
I'm with Tyler, man. I'm kind of not in favor of any of the changes in the NFL, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying like a couple of weeks ago when this first report came out and we talked about it, I said, listen, I think the football is already kind of perfect in my opinion. I don't want to really mess with it. But now that I'm seeing what the changes are, like I do really like the one team getting the first round bye, because we had a caller earlier saying like you have to be the king and only the king is awarded, not whoever comes in second. I do like that aspect of it. But because you're doing that, you have to add an extra playoff team. And I see what you're saying. You don't want more mediocrity come playoff time.
I'd almost rather see him at 8 teams then and not give any team a bye and do it that way. I don't like the whole bye thing. Maybe that rubs me wrong. And if you're going to give a bye, I think you got to give it to 2 teams and just not one. I think that just shares too much favor.
I like
them.
The bye, but I like it more that it's only one team. Like, it's like, wow, you are the best team and you continue to be the best team all season long. You never took your foot off the gas pedal here. You get a week off. I like that. I'd rather it be one team than two.
Okay. Well,
now, what do you got on the Sixers, Drew? Hey, that's fine.
No, Sixers just, I think what everyone's been saying, I think we need to see this rotation, you know, like we saw last time versus the Clippers, see how that plays out. I mean, this is in Brett Brown's hands right now. He's got to manage this and really see what he can do. And if he can't get this team to the Eastern Conference playoffs, then we got to give somebody else.
Yeah, then he's got to go. Drew, great call. Put you in the running for the Guns N' Roses tickets. Yeah, I mean, if they don't get past round two, and I said this before, if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and get swept, or if they lose in five, or if they lose in six, and they're really never in the series, Brett Brown's got to go. And I don't think anybody is saying otherwise. If they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and they lose in game seven, and instead of a quadruple doink, it's a five-time doink, like, you know, he's going to get another year, whether people love it or not. But if they can't get out of round two again, he's got to go. It's like Dwayne Casey all over again with the Toronto Raptors. Like they could never get out of round two, and then they move on, and look what happens. Nick Nurse comes in, and they win a championship. Now, they also had the benefit of Kawhi Leonard on the team, which helps. But look, Kawhi Leonard's not on that team this year, and they're in second place in the Eastern Conference with 40 wins already at the All-Star break. So we'll see. We'll see if a new coach comes in and changes, but again, I don't want to talk about, when they lose in the second round, you got to fire Brett Brown. Like, I don't want to say when. It's if. We have to, there's still 27 regular season games with a new roster, a slightly new roster, with two new pieces. And these two new pieces, I said this yesterday. We had a caller call in who said, all teams make trades, and they're always trying to find adjustments. Well, a lot of times it's like last year when the Sixers bring in James Ennis, and James Ennis is like the eighth or ninth guy off the bench for you. These two guys, one could potentially end up being a starter for you in Glenn Robinson III. And Alec Burks, to me, is the first guy off the bench with Al Horford. Those two are going to come off the bench at the same time, probably. But that's how I look at it. And now it's like, okay, they're a better team now, right? They are. I know.
Of course. They're objectively a better team.
They're a much better team because they were so lost at points coming off the bench, except for when Furkan Korkmaz lights up 30 points, right? But for the most part, when the Sixers went to the bench, and because Brett Brown sometimes does bad rotations because I don't know how great of a coach he is, and there's only like one starter out there, and then you go, oh, there's Neto, there's Korkmaz, there's Scott, and there's James Ennis with Ben Simmons. You go, huh, this team's not that deep, is it?
Well, and that gets us back to our conversation that we had, at 10:04 this morning? What do you need to see? It's fixing that rotation.
Yeah, fixing that rotation where you have at least two starters on the court at all times. And I would count Horford as one of the two, I guess. Even though he's coming off the bench now, let's face it, he was a starter to start the season. So if it's Simmons and Horford and then Burks, Robinson, and Korkmaz, it's one thing. But if it's Simmons, Korkmaz, Scott, Burks, Robinson III, I'm like, all right, why are we doing this? Like, you have so many talented players on this team in that starting five. You should have no less than two on the court at the same time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.